the air hits you first. It's not just heat. It's a presence, a warm, wet blanket that wraps around you the moment the plane door opens. I'd read about the humidity, but reading is one thing. Standing on the tarmac at King Abdulaziz International at the start of August is another. It's a physical thing, this air. My glasses fogged instantly, and I just stood there for a moment, letting it settle on my skin. This is the arrival, not the clean, air-conditioned version, but the real, breathy, unmistakable hello from the Red Sea coast. Marhaba, Jeddah. The next few days, I've been calling them my administrative pilgrimage. Everyone who moves here goes through it, and it's a rite of passage in its own way. It starts with the paperwork, of course. My employer had arranged the entry visa, but the real prize is the Iqama, the residence permit. That involves a medical exam, a trip to the passport office for biometrics, and then waiting for the system to update. I'm told it can take anywhere from a week to three, so you learn patience quickly. Meanwhile, you can't do much else. No bank account, no SIM card, until that digital identity is sorted. The key to doing anything here is the Absher or NAFITH platform, the government's digital ID system. Once your Iqama is active and you've registered, the world opens up. And you need a national address, which you register through Saudi Post. It's not a home address in the way I'm used to. It's a coded reference to a specific location, and you need it for everything, even getting a SIM card. So, day one, I found a small office near my temporary flat in Al Rada, a central district that feels solid and convenient, and I got all my numbers and codes jotted down in a little notebook. It's a strange feeling being a person made of forms and reference numbers for a few days. Once I had the basics, I could finally get a phone number. I walked into an STC store, passport and Iqama in hand, and within 20 minutes, I had a prepaid SIM with more data than I could possibly use in a month. It costs around 150 riyals for a generous bundle, which is less than $40, and honestly, the connectivity is something else. Then came the bank. With my digital ID confirmed, I opened a current account at Saudi National Bank entirely online. I've never done that before. It was a 5-minute video call and a digital signature. The account comes with a MATA debit card, and it's all Sharia compliant, so there's no interest, just a profit-sharing arrangement. It's a different financial philosophy, and it takes a moment to wrap your head around, but it's elegant in its own way. The flat I've rented for now is a modest one-bedroom. It's costing me about 2,800 riyals a month, which feels steep until you remember the exchange rate. That's roughly $750. It's in Al Rada, which I chose for the simple reason that everything is nearby. There are small grocery stores, laundrettes, and a dozen cafes on the ground floors of the apartment blocks. I found a quiet spot called Snug, a little roastery with an excellent flat white for about 10 riyals, and I sat there for an hour, just watching the rhythm of the neighborhood, the families, the groups of young men, the expats in their office where, all moving through the late afternoon. But I didn't come all this way to sit in a cafe. The real Jeddah, the one I'd been dreaming about, is Al Balad, the old town. In the summer, you don't go during the day. The heat is too punishing, and the humidity just saps you. No. Al Balad wakes up after the evening prayer, when the sun has softened its grip and the stone streets start to cool. I took an Uber there, about 20 minutes from Al Rada, and got dropped off just outside the old gates. The change is instant. You're hit by the smell of wood smoke and spices, and the sight of the Rawasheen, those beautiful wooden lattice balconies that jut out from the coral stone houses, filtering the last of the daylight into patterns on the ground below. It's a maze in there, a labyrinth of narrow, high-walled streets that has been the gateway to Mecca for pilgrims for over 1,000 years. I walked through Souq El Alawi, where you can find everything from fresh food to cheap electronics, all crammed into tiny stalls. It's intense, but I was there for a purpose. I'd been told about the food. I found a little hole-in-the-wall place, just a counter and a few stools, and ordered a mutabak. It's a flaky, fried pancakes stuffed with spiced meat or cheese, and for about 16 reals, $4, you get a substantial, messy, utterly delicious parcel. I ate it standing up, the oil running down my fingers, watching the world go by. In that moment, I felt a long way from anywhere I'd ever been. I wandered further in, past the Nassif House Museum, a grand old merchant's mansion where, you know, Ibn Saud once stayed. It's a landmark here, a beautiful example of Hijazi architecture, restored and open to the public as a museum. It wasn't open that late, but just seeing it from the outside, its pale coral walls towering over the lane, was enough to feel its history. The Al-Balad Night is full of life. I saw a group of men playing chess in the culture square, and I remembered reading about a big chess tournament happening here this month. There's a certain energy, a community feeling that you don't get in the sterile new districts. By this time, my clothes were sticking to me again. The temperature had only dropped to about 35, and the sea air is relentless. I decided to head to the water. The Corniche at night is where the city truly exhales. It's a long, long promenade, and everyone is there, families with picnics, joggers, cyclists, young people just sitting on the seawall. I walked out toward the King Fahd Fountain, the tallest in the world. It's a strange and wonderful thing to see, a single jet of water shooting hundreds of meters into the night sky, lit up in changing colors, like a liquid beacon. I stood there for a while, just listening to the shush of the water against the breakwater and the buzz of the crowd. It feels safe, easy to be a person here. You just blend in with the millions of others enjoying the cool air. I was starving again by then, so I found a restaurant right along the Corniche in the Ash Shadi district, a place called Must Eatery. It's a popular spot, and I can see why. I ordered a plate of grilled hamar, a local grouper. It was cooked simply with just lemon and a bit of spice, and it was one of the best pieces of fish I've ever had. The meal, with a drink and rice, came to around 150 rials, maybe $40, and worth every halala. Sitting there, looking out at the dark sea, it struck me that this city is a place of equal parts grit and glamour. You have the ancient, humid alleyways of Al-Balad and, just a few kilometers away, these polished seafront restaurants that could be in Miami or Dubai. But I'm not here to stay in Jeddah, not this time. The plan is to use this city as the gate, which it has been for centuries, and then head up into the highlands. The summer along the coast, you see, is tough, but the Saudis themselves know the secret. They go to the mountains, the Sarawat Range, where the altitude brings cooler air and where the mist rolls in over terraced farms. That's the escape, and it's the next leg of the journey. I have a few more logistics to sort out, a few more forms to sign, but the city has given me its gift already, a sense of arrival. I have a stack of paperwork, a full stomach, and a phone that works. The road forward is clear. I just need to point the car east and start climbing. So the first night in Jeddah ends with a cup of evening kawa, the bitter, fragrant coffee spiced with cardamom, served in a tiny cup. I'm back in my flat in Al Rada, the air conditioning humming, and I'm thinking about the matter, more beautiful reality of this place. My first Iqama is in hand, my bank details are set, and I've got a new SIM in my phone. I'm not just a visitor here anymore, and that is the most thrilling feeling. Tomorrow, the Rayal journey begins. Until then, from the warm, loud, beautiful city of Jeddah, this is Layla. Ma Salama.